Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Kev O'Neill of the Odds Breakers will join us. We will go over all of the conference tournaments, everything that is available right now. We got about, eight or nine of them. So we'll go over all of them, get his thoughts, best bets, some tips for betting these conference tournaments as they are underway starting here on Monday with the Horizon. It's a slow start. It's only this one on Monday. Then you get another one on Tuesday. Then by Wednesday, you got a few of them in action. Then Thursday, you know, and so on and so forth, where it's, some of these are spaced out a little bit. Some of them have different formats or unique formats, but they start Monday and you get a conference tournament every game and it really ramps up middle of the week. So they're underway. We're here. March is here. Started to really feel a little bit more like spring, especially on the East Coast here where you look out the window, 5:30 Sunday afternoon, still sunny, still bright, snow starting to melt, some warmer forecast in the future. So we're there. We've reached March in a great time of the year. I would say the theme for this weekend, before I get to some of my thoughts on the conference tournament, one bet I like, Florida just continues to stomp everybody and look like a very viable contender here to repeat, something we've talked about the last couple weeks. Last week in particular, I know the Bear mentioned them last week as a team that they are very live, very viable in terms of repeating and winning this thing once again. They are now down to 7-1 in some spots to win this whole thing. I was doing the live bet show Saturday with Brad Taylor as they were just running Arkansas out of the building. Arkansas led by a few points the first 6 or 7 minutes of the game. Thinking, all right, Arkansas, good team, got a lot of athletes. Maybe they can hang in this game. And Florida just bludgeoned them. I mean, that looked like a 116 game in the NCAA tournament. And doing the show with Brad, I said, you know what, if you haven't grabbed that 10-11-1 and you're thinking about betting Florida, you better get it now because those double-digit odds on the Gators to win it all are not going to last. And that is ticked down now to 7-1. And they are the fourth favorite to win it all behind the usual suspects, Michigan, Arizona, and Duke in whatever order, depending on where you shop. And I think those three are pretty much locked in terms of the one seeds. Those are going to be three of your one seeds. The battle now, something I talked about, I think, on Friday. If UConn wins out and Florida wins out, who do they give the fourth one seed to? I still think they'll give it to UConn. UConn only has three losses. Florida has six. But that's a much tougher SEC schedule. Now, UConn beat Florida head-to-head, so it's like the Notre Dame-Miami thing. Well, you can't just completely dismiss the head-to-head, so that will be interesting. And I do think it's very possible that both do win out. But regardless, I still would give a slight edge to UConn just because fewer losses in the head-to-head. But they'll probably put both of them in the same region anyway because the strongest two with the weakest one, if you're going to do it in a fair way where you go 1, 2, 3, and then 4 and 5 in the same region, and like the worst two seeds, so the 8 is with the 1, which is how you should do it. I would imagine Florida and UConn end up in the same bracket, which would be one hell of an Elite 8 game. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves if you ever got there with the last three national champions combined, because UConn won 2 in a row before Florida won it last year. They met in the tourney last year. UConn, I know they were complaining after the game, and Hurley's always complaining about something about the calls. UConn led by, you know, whatever it was, 7 or 8 points, and had a chance to put the game away, could never quite do it, and then Florida ended up winning. So if they're in the same region and that is a regional final, man, that is one hell of a regional final. I think that's a very real possibility, a very real circumstance. The other question here is we get to, 2 weeks away from the selection, and 2 weeks from now you'll have the bracket in your hand. Does Miami, Ohio need to win the conference tournament? They should have lost Friday to Western Michigan. Western Michigan had every opportunity to, put them away, led by about 8 points a couple different times, missed a couple open threes, just couldn't quite put the game away. Miami, Ohio had a 4-point play, crawl back. They tied it. Then it was tied with a few seconds left in Miami. Ohio won it, not quite at the buzzer. It was originally ruled a buzzer beater, but they put a little time back on the clock, and Western Michigan missed the half-court heave. Actually got a decent look on that one on Friday night, but that would have been very dicey for Miami, Ohio. I think if they had lost that game Friday night as a 12-point favorite to Western Michigan, I know it's harsh, but if you lost that game with their schedule and then you turn around and lose in the conference tournament, which if you don't lose in the conference tournament, all of this is moot anyway, but if they had two losses, they would have been in some trouble. I think the fact that they're probably going to run the table here and go undefeated into conference tournament play, I think that'll get him in. You never know with the committee. You never know. The committee has had a habit, has had a reputation for screwing over the little guy. You can certainly make the case from their schedule they don't deserve to be in, but hey, you win all your games. You can probably give him a break here and put him in. And the bubble is so weak, so soft. Indiana loses again on Sunday. They were a team perceived to be in. Auburn has had a million losses here, including as an 11-point favorite on Saturday to Ole Miss. They've lost 7 out of their last 8. Ole Miss, I'd be very surprised if they're only lost in the conference tournament. I'd be very surprised if they're not in the tournament. I'd be interested to see what that market is, if that is the scenario, especially if it's unlike the title game. So you start the season back the first week or so in November. You win every game all the way until the middle of March, and you only lost in the conference final, and you're going to leave them out. I think that's hard to believe, but there's just some, Bruce Pearl was talking about how they should be left out. If it's the 68 best teams, they're not one of them. Granted, he's got a bias because his son is on the staff at Auburn, which is also a bubble team. And his point's not totally ridiculous. I mean, I don't completely disagree with his logic at all. And I'd like to see the committee. I want to see him score them. I wanted to see them lose the other night and then lose in the tournament and see what the committee would do and just watch the chaos. But that will be an interesting one to keep an eye on. I still think if they're only lost in the conference tournament, I'd be very surprised. I would say they're like a minus 400 favorite to be in the tournament, but you never know when it comes to these committees. Maybe they stick them in Dayton. Maybe they put them in that playing spot in Dayton, but I think with an undefeated regular season, considering how soft the bubble is, I think they would put them in regardless of how weak, and it is a weak schedule, but I think that would put them in. So that will be one to keep an eye on. Before we get to Kev O'Neill and talk some conference tournaments, the one bet I really like here, Charleston Southern is 30-1 here to win. I always get these confused, Big South Southern Conference, but they are 30-1 to win their conference tournament here. And if you look at their season, they've had a lot of close losses, 6 overtime losses in conference play, and they are the Big South Conference. High Point's the favorite here, minus 160. Winthrop is plus 290. They just beat Winthrop the other day. They lost both to High Point, but one of the High Point games was in overtime by 2 points. So, I mean, they're a bucket away from splitting the 4 games against the 2 major teams. A bunch of overtime losses, a bunch of close losses. I think there's some value there at Charleston Southern, 30-1. I only have it at DraftKings. I guess they're up at FanDuel, but it doesn't look like they're up right now at FanDuel, at least in Connecticut. So maybe shop around, maybe get a 40-1, maybe get a little better. And there is a lot of variance with these conference tournament numbers. But I think Charleston Southern has played well against the top competition. The record is skewed by close losses, overtime losses. That is the one little flyer, one little sleeper I would take a shot on, Charleston Southern, just because I think they're a little undervalued based on how their season has gone. Remember the one we were pretty big on last year was Queens at 50-1. It was up 10 in the semifinals, about to go to the finals where you could either let it ride, you could name a nice little profit, you could do whatever you wanted, and they allowed a comeback. Then they lost in overtime. They had a lead in overtime. That was a heartbreaker, and they would have been only a very small dog in the title game. I think it was Lipscomb who came back and beat them Thursday night right around a year ago. So hopefully we can maybe we can get this one home here with Charleston Southern, at least get them into a title game where you can hedge that 30-1. I do think there is some value there on Charleston Southern at 30-1. But we'll see what Kev O'Neill thinks, see if he agrees. We'll go conference by conference with him, get his thoughts on the bubble, futures. I think he's got some NFL thoughts, plenty to do with Kev. That is next. This should have been more podcast. All right, we are back. Should have been more podcast. Let's talk some conference futures, conference tournaments. They are here. It's one of the best times of the year, if not the best, and nobody better to break it all down. You can catch him at the Odds Breakers. It's our buddy. He is back, Kev O'Neill. Kev, happy March, man. Thanks for coming on.
I cannot believe it is March 1st, Will. Where is time going? But at the same time, I am extremely excited for March Madness. Here it is. We are here. March Madness is not just the tournament. It's everything that's involved in it. The upsets, the bubbles, the Cinderellas, the conference tournaments. I'm so pumped to be back on your show and discuss it.
Before we get into these, and we'll go into whatever has odds up now, and there's about 8 or 9 of them, We'll get into it. But just big picture, how to bet these conference tournaments. Any tips, any advice you want to give out?
Absolutely. There is an art to this for sure. There are some best practices that I like to even try to remind myself on every single year. And I have a list here that I wrote down to go over real quick. What I like to do is I like to see who's hot and who's actually the best team since February 1st. Not every efficiency site can do this, but the free one out there, Bart Torvik, you can actually adjust the efficiency rating compared to everybody else since February 1st. That's the date I pick. Is there any method to that madness? I don't know. I just think that a month is probably a good amount of time, yet you're not going too far back in case a team was, you know, better back then. So it is a situation that I like to try to pick off some teams that might be better recently and actually better lately in conference play. Number two, you got to check for injuries. There's injuries, and don't get me wrong, a lot of these books are smart and they know to factor them in. I like to think that if players are questionable and then the injuries factored in, it's sometimes a free roll. So make sure you check for injuries on all teams, especially the favorites. Money line rollovers, Will, they are not the best thing to do. They are sometimes the best thing to do. And that's why I wanted to cover real quick. If you remember, good example of that was 2 years ago, Ohio State. After they beat Michigan, you could have got a big fat number on them to win the title. But once they got it in the playoffs, they are such big favorites every single time. The money line rollover was not doing you any good in that situation in football. So the same things for basketball. And just remember, it's only good if that team is playing the next best seed. If that seed gets bounced early, they're going to be even bigger favorites coming in. The money line rollover might not even pay as much as taking that future. Plus, you have to remember to do it every morning, Will. You got to set your alarm and your phone. And that's what I do to make sure I get that bet in. Number four, I believe, you got to check away from home stats. Haslametrics does a great job. It kind of just says it's not necessary on an away court, but the way he does it is that anytime you're away from home, so that includes neutral courts, how good you perform with respect to your whole season. Now, if you just happen to be a really good home team, it's going to be skewed a little bit. But you can see the teams that are not as frustrated when they're playing away from home. Number five, this is very important, Will. Check where the games are being played. A lot of these tournaments are home. They're actually home teams, and they're not on neutral courts. This is extremely important. Some do it half and half, where they start out at home, and then maybe the other end of the tournament might end up in Indianapolis or Detroit or something like that. So just keep that in mind, some of these big favorites. The next thing that you need to do is check for reseeding. If you're wondering why these favorites are such big favorites and you're tempted to take the dog, well, guess what? The best team is always going to be reseeded to the lowest seed coming in. It gives them such an advantage to go in, and it gives the dog such more of a disadvantage always having to play a high seed coming in for the tournament. For example, the Horizon League reseeds. They're going to reseed after every single round to get in. Another thing that's important, especially kind of at the end, Will, is if a team has a non-eligible for postseason play, like NCAA tournament team. We've seen that with Merrimack in the past and other teams that were about to win their conference. There could be some motivational factors in that final game. Now, I'm not saying they're still not going to want to win their conference, because they might, but the line might over-adjust for that as well. So that's an important thing to check for as well in conference tournament betting.
A lot of good stuff. And I completely agree. People like to say the money line rollover is better, and a lot of, you know, some cases it is, but like you said, there's a human element to forgetting to put in the bet. People don't always keep, you know, big balances in their account for whatever reason. And you know what? You win on one day on one team that you want to do the rollover with, and sometimes you lose it on something else stupid. By the time they play again, you don't have the money in your account. So there's a human element to that. That being said, let's get into it. I guess this is alphabetical order, starting at with DraftKings, starting with the Atlantic Sun. Austin P is the short shot plus 205, followed quickly by Central Arkansas plus 250. Our boys from Queens, who almost got to the title game last year. You and I both had them 50-1. They are now 4-1. So this is kind of bunched up here between these four: Austin Peay, Central Arkansas, Queens, Lipscomb, all 5-1 or lower. Everyone else 16-1 or longer. Is there any value here?
Oh, you had to remind me about Queens last year, Will. Well, how close were we in that? Didn't that go overtime in the final game? I'm pretty sure it was something.
They were in the semis and they were up 10 with like 6 or 7 minutes to go, and then they lost in overtime.
Yeah, that was painful because we had massive double digit to one bets on that. I can't even remember exactly what they were, but they were quite nice.
50-1.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that one still hurts. I'm wondering if I hedged. I can't remember. I will sometimes hedge in the semis and not. But anyways, there is no value, in my opinion, on Queens in this tournament. I really think that there's only two teams that make sense to bet in this, and that's Austin Peay and Central Arkansas. Now, the problem here with Central Arkansas is that they are a bit injured. You got to watch for that. I believe they're waiting on a questionable point guard coming in, but he hasn't played in a little while, and they actually, I believe, beat Austin Peay without him. And there's another guy that went down for Central Arkansas during the game last night. And, you know, so like I said, injuries, you got to be careful. But, you know, you're looking at two teams that I think the rest of them are complete out of this. I would love to say Queens has a shot again, but they lost too much from last year, and Queens just does not play defense. But Central Arkansas and Austin Peay, you're getting plus 205 on Austin Peay, and you're getting plus 250 on Central Arkansas. So, Will, you take both of those bets, and you're basically laying about plus 120 if one of those teams win. It's kind of like picking like Michigan, Arizona, or Duke versus the field in the NCAA tournament. Well, you're getting those two teams against the rest at around the same odds, but even probably blended odds would be plus 120. I say take that. Central Arkansas has got the number one D in the conference, number three in offense, and Austin Peay's right there too. So those are the only two teams I'm going to bet, and that's how I'm going to bet it.
Big South is interesting. High Point is odds on. I know you were on them last year. That was a good call, and they were somewhat competitive in the tournament. I think maybe Purdue, and they didn't cover the game, but they got in. They won their tournament. So they're minus 160, Winthrop plus 290. A team that's interesting to me, Charleston Southern at 30-1. If you go back and look, they've lost a lot. I think 6 overtime games, another couple games by a couple possessions. And something to look at with these, see how these teams do. If you're looking for a sleeper, see how they do against the upper echelon teams. Do they compete with the ones and the two seeds? Were they competitive? Did they beat them? Did they almost beat them? And they were fairly competitive here. So Charleston Southern at 30-1 to me is interesting. How about you? Do you show any value for any of these teams here in the Big South?
Well, Charleston Southern has been a little bit hot lately, and they have, and thanks for bringing them up. They have won some pretty big games. They are still not quite in the realm of bettable for me. And to be honest with you, I'm probably laying off this one. High Point just seems way better than everybody here. Now, Winthrop at plus 290, I kind of looked at that one for a while. If I was going to take anybody, it would probably be Winthrop. Remember that this is at a neutral court in Tennessee with this tournament. This one, I don't think the money line rollover is any good on either side either. I really believe that it's High Points to lose, and that's why you're seeing them at a pretty big minus 160 favorite here. I think the market's pretty in tune by them, and the bracket just sets up too nicely for them. I'm pretty sure they're going to win.
Horizon starts on Monday. It's our first one out of the gate here. Wright State is a plus 200 short shot. Any thoughts on this one?
Absolutely. I'm taking a couple bets on this one too. Now, Wright State, I'm playing against Wright State. I'm playing two teams, Robert Morris at plus 320 and Green Bay at plus 1,000. To be honest, if you take it till February 1st, take the efficiency numbers, Robert Morris is number 76 in efficiency on Bart Torbeck. Well, now they're 77. A game must have changed that today. And then Wright State, since February 1st, is definitely lower at 178. This tells me that they have not been the top team to be on in the Horizon League. And this is where I sniff it out. looking at the what have you done for me lately. Remember, if Robert Morris had the much harder non-conference, you know, their numbers are going to be wrong too. I like looking at what they did in the conference. Robert Morris will need their point guard back, and I think they're going to get him back. That is the only holdup on this. And they actually beat Wright State as well without their point guard. So a situation here where I like Robert Morris, but I also like Green Bay because they're the best shooting team. Now, it's Gottlieb, and he's definitely more this is more of a team that is inconsistent, right? You got to hope for consistency in these things. But, you know, I believe that Green Bay at 10-1 and Robert Morris at plus 320, if you just took a split your unit there, you're going to have a good shot against the Wright State, who should not be the favorite, in my opinion.
Ohio Valley, I don't have much on these teams. Tennessee State is the short shot plus 220. Anything for you here, or is this a pass?
Ohio Valley is at the Ford Center in Evansville, Indiana. I am passing on this one. I have nothing in this. I studied it this morning. Nothing jumped out to me. I think all these teams, Morehead State, Southeast Missouri State, UT Martin, and Tennessee State, all are kind of properly priced. You get 4-1. I mean, the truth is that 3-1 on every single team out of four teams is the exact odds if they're all equal. This is just a little bit too close to equal. I think I looked at SIU Edwardsville at 11-1. I couldn't get there with the Ohio Valley. I just think the other four teams are just going to bounce them at some point. So they're properly priced.
Patriot League. Navy is odds on at minus 120. Colgate, which dominated this conference for a long time, is plus 360. Do you have any interest in the Patriot League here?
I used to love Colgate in this, but now I hate Colgate in this. I don't think Colgate's a good team. They lost four of their last five games. And these are important games, Will. These were like where they could have taken back, you know, kind of control of the conference here. Now Colgate's, a four seed, something like that. It's kind of interesting to see where they're at. Maybe they're a two or a three seed. I'm not completely sure. I think Lehigh's the two seed and Colgate's the three. But a situation here where I believe that Navy is a lot better than most of these teams. But I also like Boston University at plus 850. So I'm putting a unit on Navy at minus 120. That's maybe closer to properly priced. But I also think that Boston University has been playing really hot lately. They've won seven of their last eight games. Their only loss was away to Lehigh by 3 points. They play slow, but their offense ranks 14th in effective field goal, number one in the conference in three-point shooting, in effective field goal shooting, 2 points. They're the best defensive rebounding team. So what you do is put a unit on Navy at minus 120, put a half unit at plus 850 on Boston University. And one of those cashes, well, you're going to like, but you're definitely rooting for Boston U in this situation.
SoCon, East Tennessee State plus 185. Then there's a little bit of a drop off to Furman at plus 425. Did you make any bets here in the Southern Conference?
Yes, I did. Samford is my best bet of the show at plus 550. Samford has been red hot since February 1st, winning, I believe, 10 of their last 11 games. And they've been winning convincingly as well. You know, Samford, 135th on Bart Torvik since November 1st, which is, you know, like I said, you know, something to look at for sure. And was it East Tennessee State was the other one we were looking at here. And East Tennessee State ranks 202nd since February 1st. I think Samford is hot here for the taking. Would a money line rollover make sense? I think so. I actually do think that this is a situation in Pensacola, Florida. You don't have to worry about home court, where a money line rollover might make some sense as well. But like I said, you have to remember to do it. For Troy, or sorry, that's jumping to the next one. I forgot to mention, Samford beat East Tennessee State. And then the time when they went away, they only lost by 1 point. I think they're better. And that's why I think all the value is on Samford at plus 550. I think that's probably my best bet so far.
Summit, St. Thomas of Minnesota and North Dakota State, both sort of co-favorites here in the plus 140 range. Anything in this conference for you?
I have to pass on the Summit. That is the one conference I haven't done all my homework in. I don't want to lead anybody long right now. I will say Denver overs have been pretty amazing. I don't know how it's going to play. The market's been making you pay a premium for Denver overs and they're still hitting. I've been scratching my head. I've not been fading them. I've actually been playing a lot of personal money on the Denver overs, but that's all I have to say about this, but I will say Kansas City is the worst team, maybe in college basketball here. They're the worst covering team at less than 20% for Kansas City. So don't bet on Kansas City is all I can say.
Yeah, Kansas City, and that's UMKC, 400-1. And Oral Roberts, who was in the Sweet 16, I guess that's maybe 4 years ago now. Is that possible? It's 5 years ago. I guess now it is. The team with that pulled off the 15-2 upset, I think, over Ohio State and nearly won in the Sweet 16. They're 130-1 to win this conference. Mm-hmm. Sun Belt, and this is a wacky bracket, and you mentioned it earlier about checking out the brackets. This is one where some teams need to win only two games. Some needs to win seven. There was a wild tiebreaker between the second through seventh place team, but Troy is the favorite at plus 170. And Marshall is plus 270. Everyone else is 5-1 or longer. Do you have any bets?
Yeah, man. I do like someone here, and I guess this is my longest shot. And this is our Queens bet for this year. But I will say, if you look at this bracket, James Madison plays the second day, and it is a crazy 7-round bracket, man. And it's fun to see because the West Coast Conference is very much the same. We're going to get right into that. It's funny how the end has these two crazy brackets, but they make it so hard on the bad teams and they reward the best two teams, literally gifting them the semifinals with no other games coming in. So that is crazy about these brackets. But you know what? When teams get hot, it might be more of an advantage for them. You know, if they're just kind of running through everybody. So that's a way to think about it. James Madison has been really hot since February. Now, they actually beat Troy on January 29th here, and they beat Troy away. You know, they've taken their lumps for sure, and they're not amazing. But, you know, this university's got a lot of heart. If you look in conference play, they have the number one effective field goal defense against the whole conference, and they have the number two effective field goal percent offense as well. They're just a little bit inconsistent, but this name here, James Madison, it means a lot lately in football. And if you remember last year, it sure meant a heck of a lot in basketball as well. And I'm going to do both, Will. I'm taking them 45-1 for a little bit of money, and then I'm also going to do a money line rollover on them because they have 6 rounds to get all the way there. I think that this could build up to about 100-150-1 if they can get through everybody properly. And they will play Troy, you know, coming in, because those teams are grandfathered in to the semifinals. So absolutely have a long shot on James Madison.
But you would say this is one where you do play the rollover. You don't take the 30-1, even though you like him, because you think the rollover will pay better.
It's 45-1 and at FanDuel, but I will say that the rollover is going to be better. But this is going to be my experiment too. I'm hoping James Madison wins so I can use this as a case study for everybody. I really think the money line rollover in this case is a much better. But you know, people look at 45-1 and they scratch their head and say, "Why is it 45-1?" Well, because of the format of this tournament. So this is kind of, you know, some of those best practices that I discussed. You got to look into that stuff. I hope James Madison makes it far. Even the good thing about money line rollover is if you get little cold feet at the end, you don't have to maybe make half your bet on it at the end and you still cashed out.
Yeah. And shop around because, like we're talking about here, it's 30-1 at DraftKings and 30-1 when you have to win all of those games. 30-1 just doesn't make a lot of sense, but, 45-1, shop around and obviously get the best price with all this stuff. The last one, and I don't know if you have any odds for the Ivy. I don't have it here, maybe just because I'm in Connecticut and Yale's involved, although I know that's a funky bracket where Yale as the one seed has to play a true road game in their first round, which is ridiculous. They have to play Cornell, but we'll skip that for now unless you have something there. West Coast Conference Tournament. This is always the same thing. It feels like 20 years in a row. And I want to go back and look and see how many times in a row Gonzaga has played St. Mary's for the title on that Monday night. This is going to be the last one for a while because Gonzaga is going to be in the Pac-12 going forward. But Gonzaga, odds on minus 210, St. Mary's plus 230, Santa Clara, who's a bubble team, plus 650. This is a DraftKings. Everyone else has really long odds. Is there a bet to be made in this one?
Yeah, unfortunately, the Ivy League has one more game, and this is just how they do it there. They only play on the weekends. It's unreal that, I guess they're, studies are more important for some colleges, just not for everybody, right? But Yale's going to play Princeton one more time. I love Yale. I think Yale has a great upset chance being the number one three-point team in the nation. Number three in the nation, number one in conference. So, Will, let me ask you this. Do you think Gonzaga laid down last night against St. Mary's?
I'm not sure. I like St. Mary's in the game anyway. I just don't think this is a great version of Gonzaga. I don't love their offense. I thought St. Mary's just at home was going to shoot the three better. I have to go back and look at the box score. I know Gonzaga had a good first half, I think led by 7.5, and then it was all St. Mary's in the second half. So I'm not sure. I don't know if teams think like that and act like that, especially in college, college kids. I just think Gonzaga, aside from Graham Ike, who's been in college, basically since you and I were in college, I just don't know that they have a lot of offense, this version of Gonzaga.
Moneyline rollover St. Mary's, even though they're going to be in the semifinals, but the problem is they're playing Santa Clara, who's easily the third best team in this conference. And Santa Clara is actually pointed out to be an 11 seed in the tournament. And they're probably kind of bubbly right now, I would think. But, they did blow out Oregon State here last night. And the problem with St. Mary's is they have to play Santa Clara, and that makes Gonzaga not playing anybody, because after Santa Clara, there is absolutely nobody worth a dang, in this conference whatsoever. I mean, the highest after them is Pacific at 112th on KenPom. That's the distance between the number 36 Santa Clara and number 12 Pacific. So that's why you're getting a big plus money and St. Mary's, but there's no value on Gonzaga because Gonzaga's still kind of injured, Graham Ike's fine, but Braden Huff has been out and he's done. And then you have now Jalen Worley, kind of a role player that's playing 50% of the minutes, hasn't played in the last two games for Gonzaga. So Gonzaga's a bit beaten down. Money line rollover on St. Mary's, because I think when they play Gonzaga, they're going to be about a 4.5-point dog. And that's you're at least going to get plus 160, plus 180 on St. Mary's. So if you're like laying minus 200, let's just say, against Santa Clara, you roll over the profit and that, you're probably going to get at least plus 300 if you calculate those odds, something like that, rather than what they're dealing out in sports books right now. So this would be plus 230, I see. Let's look at a money line rollover with St. Mary's.
Before we get to, I know you got some football thoughts. Before we get to that, just some big picture thoughts with college hoops. Let's just say UConn wins out and Florida wins out. Who do you think they'll give the final one seed to?
Definitely UConn. Now, Florida's better, and I would bet Florida if you give me pick them, but that's just not how they work. They look too much at wins and losses and not who the best teams are in this situation. And that's, you can complain about a lot of sports with committees and stuff like that. It's not like they always do the right thing, but Florida's just going to be punished for losing to UConn, Duke, TCU, and Arizona. It's an easy decision for them in their brain because they say, oh, they beat UConn in a neutral court. That's literally what they're going to say. So even though Florida is the better team that should be favored by 3.5 points minimum, if they played UConn again, it's a situation where they'll easily give it to UConn.
Yeah, and UConn 3 losses, Florida 6 losses, the head-to-head. I know the SEC is tougher, but I'm with you. I think Florida is a little bit better right now. But look, I don't know. I guess I would draw the line. We talk about like teams that could win the championship. I think we're probably down to 5. Anyone outside of Arizona, Michigan, Duke, Florida, UConn, if the champion is not one of those 5 teams, and that might be generous to UConn to include them, they're very up and down. I don't know. Do you see any other team besides those 5 that can win it all?
2 weeks ago, I would have thrown Illinois and Iowa State in there, but not no more. Will, I think it's those 5. I think those are a simple 5. And you got to go with UConn because of the coach and Hurley. And You know, I love betting on coaches, and I might say that again on this show, but a situation where these teams are just well above and beyond the rest. And poor Michigan with a big injury last week when they, I believe they lost LJ Kaysen, who is a massive role player guard for this team. And, you know, it, I mean, injuries happen, and Michigan's still very deep though. It's not a, I wouldn't call it a major loss for them, but it's a loss where you could, you know, these two teams are running up and down the floor. They could run out of guys if they get into foul trouble and things like that. So I'm a little bit worried about Michigan there, but it's easily those five in my opinion, Will.
Miami, Ohio have anything to worry about if they lose in the conference tournament?
No, it would be too embarrassing for Miami of Ohio to be left out at this point. We forget about these things, though. I will say that they have made bad decisions. But when you have the undefeated label next to you, I think that's even too much for them to overcome the media and the outcry. And, you know, it's not like anybody cares too much because we forget about it, like I said. But I think if there's a prop here to how many teams the MAC gets in, over 1.5, I would bet it because Akron is a favorite right now on a neutral court against Miami of Ohio by a point or two. So I think the MAC will get over two teams in, and I just don't think they have the cojones to leave Miami of Ohio out.
Weak bubble. I don't know how many upsets we're getting in this tournament. I think it's going to be a lot of chalk. Do you think any of these teams on the bubble, any of them do anything for you? Well, man, I hope they let this team in, or I hope they don't let that team in. Do you think any of these bubble teams, you know, the Santa Claras, Ohio State, who's beating Purdue as we speak, Indiana, Auburn now, who's played terrible. Any feeling on any of these teams like making a run? Do you care? Or is this just, you know what, put in who they put in and we'll move on with it? It's just not worth discussing.
Not worth discussing to me. I more want to be on some of the conference tournament winning teams like the Belmonts. I like to be on them some. I might be on Akron at some point. You know, those are the teams I'm looking for, you know, some big upsets in my opinion. You know, the Mountain West tournament is going to be interesting if Nevada can win. You know, you look at them a little bit. Grand Canyon's fun. I don't like any bubble team. I hate to say this, but I just feel like you might see three one seeds in the final four, man.
I'm with you. Wouldn't be shocked if we got all four. Really wouldn't.
We'll have to look at the number on that one for sure.
Yep. And remember last year, like you think of like, oh man, all one seeds. That's so obvious. It's so chalk. It's so boring. But if you parlayed the four one seeds to make the final four, I think it paid like a little over 18-1. So as much as it's like boring to be that guy that fills out all one seeds, first of all, if it gets home, it gets home. And there's nothing chalky about 18-1.
No, there's nothing chalky about 18-1 at all. I mean, maybe Missouri. I mean, you know, Missouri did beat A&M on the road. You know, they beat a, they've showed up here and there. They beat Kentucky on the road. They beat Florida at home, but that was right before Florida put it in overdrive. That's it, man. I don't think they get to the Final Four. I think they could get to it like the Elite Eight or something. You know, I mean, we all get cute with brackets and stuff, but unfortunately, sure, it's going to be people like my wife that fill in all ones and two seeds in the finals that steals all our money, dude.
Did you have a team? Do you have a team in mind that when the brackets come out, you'll have going farther than everybody else?
You mean to win it all?
No, just, hey, I have this team going farther than everyone else might have them. For me, that team, and if you asked me this yesterday, I would have said Arkansas. But boy, the way they showed up against Florida in Gainesville on Saturday, I'm not sure I would stick to that. I don't know. Do you have a team that you think is underrated? St. Louis is going to be a very trendy team. I can already sense that a couple weeks from now. If you don't have one, it's okay. I'm just curious if you had a team that you might think is a little underrated.
I feel like a big homer in this show today because Wisconsin has 2 point guards and it's a guards game. You know, if they're not hot, they lose, and they're going to lose to anybody, man, if they're not hot. And I've seen it many times, but man, if these point guards are hot, your rebounds can be very, I guess there's just a lot of variance when it comes to rebounds, right? The 3 point shots, they bounce harder and bounce farther. You know, it's not like Florida might be able to grab them all if they get stuck playing a Wisconsin team early. You know, I think Wisconsin, it just depends upon where they line up in the bracket. But what's funny about these big teams, the Dukes, the Michigans, the Arizonas, and they don't have the best guard play. They have the best front courts I've seen in basketball, you know, but they don't have the best guard play. Yeah, a Wisconsin, a Belmont could kind of sneak in there. You know, Belmont, you can bet 500-1 to make the Final Four. You can start hedging that at the Sweet 16 and make a massive profit, in my opinion. I'm not saying to do it, but I might. I think betting teams to get to the final. If you bet a champion and it's not one of the five teams we discussed, Will, you got to bet them to also go to the Final Four. That makes it so much easier on you to hedge because these five teams are going to be such big favorites against them.
Are you ready to get driven crazy by the officiating in March Madness?
I'm always ready. Just like UCF last night, one of my best bets where Baylor kicked his foot up and they called the foul, which is, should be the opposite. But yeah, I'm ready. I'm a glutton for punishment, but at the same time, you know, I'm kind of hoping that we find some good angles on the totals. You know, those first half unders. If you remember, sometimes they can't even catch up to the number. The books can't even catch up because they're that big, especially Missouri Valley Conference. When that bracket comes out, you have to remember where that thing's played and, you know, the black backdrops and the fact it's playing in a hockey arena and the fact that, you know, it's hard for them to score points at that venue. So I'm hoping to make more money there rather than sides, you know. But, yeah, I'm mentally preparing for a couple of babbies. Just remember, if you're fading big names, you almost get what's coming to you.
All right, last one before we go. Football, you have bets, you have thoughts. Take it away.
You know what's funny about the NFL, man? Yeah, I looked at the Super Bowl odds and the conference championship odds. And look, when I do our Pythagorean win total at the odds breakers, you know, it's going to show the Bears should have only won 7 or 8 games. But, you know, and they're going to be the biggest fade, I think, by the sharp, you know, community. But you have to remember a couple things. You know, it's about coaches, really. And I like betting on good coaches, and I really believe Ben Johnson's a good coach. You look at their schedule. Is it really that hard? You know, you think about it. They have to play Seattle. But guess what? The Packers have to play the Rams. The Lions have to play the 49ers, right? You look at the AFC, the Bears have to play the Jaguars. Well, the Packers have to play the best defense in the Texans. The Lions have to play the Colts with Danny Dimes. It's like everybody's got hard situations coming up. They both play the AFC East, so they're all going to play the Jets, Miami, Buffalo, and the Patriots. You know, you have to remember that the easiest schedule is really going to be the Vikings, getting teams like the Cardinals, getting teams like the Tennessee Titans, you know, for their at-larges. But it's all about that. It's like comparably within the division, there's no easy. The Bears play Philadelphia, yet Philadelphia is going to shed some offensive line. They're kind of trending down lately. Sirianni's more about having good coordinators. You know, is the fact that the Detroit Lions have to play Washington? You know, I mean, look at how good the Giants might be with John Harbaugh now, Cam Scadaboo. I think that the Bears, you know, might be a little bit off on that Super Bowl number at 27-1. I like that a little bit, Will, just because of the fact that everyone's going to be fading the Bears too. So I kind of like that. I think it's worth a little bit of a play. And that's probably only going to get worse because Chicago is a pretty big betting city. You also have to understand the Bears have some money and they have all their draft picks. The Bengals. Why are they 30-1? I mean, wasn't it just like 3 years ago that Joe Burrow was in the Super Bowl against the Rams with an interesting pass interference call that really screwed them at the end? The Bengals have one of the easiest schedules now, you know, or the easier schedules in the league. What's Pittsburgh? Is Rodgers going to come back with McCarthy? You have to say McCarthy's a downgrading coach, you know, to Tomlin. I mean, that's what that is. The Ravens, they got a new coach, but it's John Harbaugh is gone here and they're kind of trending out. That defense was really bad in the Ravens. The Browns are the Browns. I mean, you're telling me I'm getting the best quarterback here. Mahomes might not even start the season. I don't know where he's going to be. 30-1 with the Bengals. I think that's a very good number here on Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase here. And if they can just fix that defense, you got to remember Al Golden is a pretty good defensive mind. He had it bad with Hendrickson and all the stuff going on. And I don't like the coach. This is the one where I'm betting the quarterback over the coach. But at 30-1, I kind of like that. And the Giants, my friend, I know you're out there in Connecticut, and you know the Giants and Jets is something you talk about a lot, but plus 320 to make the playoffs. And I believe that they got the best coach in John Harbaugh. Did it work with Lamar? No. I think that was partially Lamar's fault as well, and as well as some other bad luck that happened to the Ravens. But Jackson Dart and Cam Scadaboo coming back, best friends now. They had some serious draft picks. Jalen Carter, you know, over the last few years, I think John Harbaugh can get them fixed. And they have a fourth place schedule, right? A fourth place schedule. They get the fifth pick of the draft. They get the 37th pick of the draft. And it's kind of like I said, the Eagles are going to lose some this year. The Cowboys have zero defense. The Giants to make the playoffs at plus 320.
I agree.
I kind of like the Giants, and I might be Super Bowl 75-1, division 7-1. The season win total is plus money to the over 7.5. I didn't bet that yet, but I'm kind of keying in on the Giants here.
Kev, you're the best man. Excited to have March with us. This was a great breakdown of everything. We'll do it again soon. Let us know where we can find you.
Absolutely. At theoddsbreakers.com. And we have a March Madness NCAA tournament survivor game through Splash Sports. We just finished our NFL playoff one that had over 900 people in it, over $15,000 at $20 a pop. You can fill out a bracket. Well, not exactly a bracket, a survivor type bracket, right? So you pick your winners going all the way to the end. Lots of fun in March Madness Survivor. It's probably the fastest growing game right now, March Madness Survivor, than just filling out brackets. And we expect to get this thing pretty big. And you can find that over at Splash Sports. Just look for Survivor Games. You'll see us, the Odds Breakers, or go to theoddsbreakers.com and pick on that. Will, been an honor to be on your show. Thanks again.
Great stuff, Kev. Thanks. Rate, review, subscribe. Thanks to Kev O'Neill. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday. See you then.